James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we just studying here in the book of James. And this thing is the theme of what we're going to take a look at here for a little bit. It's through the Scriptures. It's all through the Scriptures from one end to the other. And the Lord gives us these things, and just for considering, for introspection in that. And so we just want to take a look here and consider this thing here and see what the Lord has for us in it. And we might be blessed of the Lord and just might be edified, strengthened, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He tells us about things in the Scripture that will help us. There's nothing in the Scripture that will hurt us, is there? Unless we disobey. Unless we disobey. But if we obey, follow the Lord in it, His blessing is there. And He will bless us indeed and honor and acknowledge Him and look into Him for His Word, to His Word. James chapter 5, verse number 13. We're going to use this as our text verse and our segue into taking a look at this subject. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? And again, James is writing to the Hebrews, but the context is with the New Testament. The Lord's people are in churches, okay? So that's the context. He even makes reference that way in this passage. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we believe that that oil there is the state-of-the-art medication for that day, as it is with our day. The Good Samaritan found the man that was in the there that was treated bad and beat up. He poured in oil and wine to help him with his wounds. And so state-of-the-art medicine that's available there, use it and pray that the Lord will bless it. Because if the Lord's blessing is not there, there won't be any help and healing and power in it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's there. It's there. The Lord has put it there. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sickness. Why do we get sick, weak, sick, and die? Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Well, we have an admonition here from the apostle, I believe James, the apostle, first pastor of the church there at Jerusalem, wrote this book. The Lord moved upon him and inspired him, or moved upon him to write the Lord's inspired word. And here there is a warning here and an admonition. I'm thankful for the prayer classes that we have, aren't you? I'm glad that we have prayer class. It's good for the men, and that's the one that I'm in and experience, and for the men to get together to bring our petitions, share our petitions one to another. We remember sometimes certain ones on the prayer list that maybe their situation is elevated or heightened, something very extreme, maybe something very grievous about the tragic death of this a woman over towards Trenton that was killed on that tractor. And different ones are mentioned from time to time. Sometimes it's a personal request that we have for ourselves or for our family. Request for salvation of those we know of that are not saved. The young folks that are here amongst us that need salvation. Visitors maybe that come for a long time that have not indicated about salvation, or maybe those that would be seeking to join the church. So just different petitions, different prayers, different things that are on our hearts or that are the Lord puts on our hearts that we share one with another. And if you don't come to the prayer classes, I encourage you, come. Come. It's good to meet together to pray. And it's by our petitioning that it's not the prayer itself that works, but it's the God that we're praying to that works. And so I'm glad. I'm glad for you ladies that come to the prayer class. And I'm glad that the church has that, because meeting together to pray, there is certainly power in that. But here he says, if there is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The implication here that if, maybe it is the case, maybe it's not. But if it be the case that some sin has brought this affliction, has brought this sickness upon this one, that prayer can work to grant forgiveness of the Lord for those sins and grant the healing of that person. Okay? It's there. And we as the Lord's children, we're going to take a look at a thing here. We've got a twofold thing upon us that exists from the standpoint of the general law of sowing and reaping. We're going to take a look at that passage over in Galatians. Whatever we sow, we reap. And so if you and I sow a thing that's destructive to our bodies or to our health, well, don't be surprised if we reap from that. Okay? That's the way it works amongst all of mankind. But then as the children of God, we have a Heavenly Father that will take care of us and maybe will chasten us even in that area of health when we get out of line. Take a look over here in 1 Corinthians 3, and we've referred to this scripture this morning, I believe. I'm pretty sure that was the case. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Forgive me, my nose is itching. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And take a look at here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Our bodies, and we collectively are, as the church, are that temple too. Here, speaking of the church at Corinth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that? If any man defile the temple of God, how would the temple of God be defiled? Well, by bringing something in. Remember how we read here not too long ago in one of the messages that we brought forth about Isaiah or Ezekiel, and how the Lord showed him the temple. And in the temple, there was that image of jealousy. Remember that? That image of jealousy that was there in the temple. And oh, the wording of the Lord, it tore him up. It bothered the Lord about that being there in his temple. It was an idol. It was something that was abomination to the Lord for that to be in his house. And he judged Israel because of it, didn't he? That's what he was dealing with the prophet and telling him there about, and those things that he was showing him. And then he ended up going on to dig in the wall, and the imagery, the imagination of the elders, of the leadership, of the religious leadership of Israel, what they had in their heart was not God, but wickedness, false worship, and things such as that. And the Lord gave them over to those very things. If any man defile the temple of God, verse 17, him shall God destroy. What did it say in verse 16? Know ye not that you're the temple of God? We looked at this morning about our body and the zeal that we have for the house of the Lord, and considering about our body being that house, being that temple, if we're saved. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which ye are. We'll just go ahead and drop that italicized word temple. We are that temple. And we stand there. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool in the world's wisdom, that he may be wise in God's wisdom, is the implication. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Oh, may God help us if we think that we can be crafty enough to dabble with sin, play with sin, put an idol. Now, I'm not talking about a statue necessarily, but put anything between us and God. Let us not think that we are crafty enough to get away with such as the Lord's children, because he will deal with us. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. This epistle, this book, this letter is speaking to saved church members, folks. Let us hear that. Most of these passages we're going to take a look at are doing so, or dealing with saved church members. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So the Lord tells us these things and gives us this kind of warning. Take a look over here in 1 Corinthians 11. Here the apostle dealing with the ordinances and the headship of Christ and how that is, how that works on through mankind. And here in dealing with them about their abuse of the Lord's Supper and such as that, he tells them here that because of this lack of discernment about the Lord's body, not discerning the Lord's body in verse number 29. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Why? Because he does not discern the purpose of the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause, this lack of discernment about the purpose of Christ's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Weak? Weak spiritually? Weak physically? Sickly? As in maybe an ailment? And many sleep. And that word sleep is dead. It's dead. And so this warning comes to us as the Lord's people in His churches. Now, as we look on and we consider a brother or sister in Christ that has ailment or illness or sickness, there's no way for us to know the working of God. Okay, so this is not a thing about how to discern if when I get down sick, whether it's of the Lord from the standpoint of my disobedience or not. That's not what these messages are about. The messages are about, let us look into the Scripture and consider the instances and the cases that God gives us so that we might take that and introspect ourselves. I told you there was an occasion in my life that I was very ill. As a young man, I was down sick for a couple months. And when I hear about these young fellows getting mono, it makes me get kind of sweaty and kind of shaky and all that and fearful for them, because I had mono in my between my first and second year of college, and I was down for 2 months, 19 years old, and I was like a weak old man out there sitting on the carport of my mom and dad's house. It was work for me to get in the car and take my mother a mile and a half, 2 miles down the road to the grocery store. And the Lord was dealing with me about sin in my life. I know that. No way for you to know that. No way for my parents even to know that. But I know that. And that was a case of what the Lord was using on me and in me to bring me to salvation even. Okay? But I had rejected the teaching of my parents and the teaching of the Word of the Lord. And in that, I knew why I was down. I knew it. And I was in jeopardy, and being in that case there in June and July, I might not have been well enough to get back to college come August or September. I was bad sick. A headache for nearly a month and a half, solid, every day, night and day. It was hot. My folks didn't have air conditioning. It was just pure miserable all the time. And so I know about that case in my life, okay? And so I give you that. But as far as looking on one another, we can't know. And again, that's not the purpose, is for us to discern about that. When one another's sick, we need to pray one for another. Isn't that what James instructed us to do? Pray. And if there's sin there involved that has brought us to that point, pray that the Lord will forgive it. That praying for one's health, I think that's what it says, is if it's a result of sin in their lives, that the Lord will work in that. Our praying for them to be bettered and well from their sickness is, if there is sin involved with it, it's a prayer for the Lord to bring grant repentance and forgiveness for that sin also. It's not that we know the sin, but that praying for one that is sick and in that situation, the long-range additional benefits of that is that the Lord work and that He grant them repentance and that they might be healed, forgiven of their sins, and raised up again. Why? What for? For the glory of God. We're going to read a passage. Let's go ahead and go over there. Let's read a couple more and then we'll get there. Luke 13. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about some folks. He's talking to these folks about salvation, and He makes reference to some folks that have been killed. Okay? Why do we get weak, sick, and die? And we don't know the spiritual state of these folks. And the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with those that he's speaking to, but he makes a reference to them. And here in Luke chapter 13, verse number 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinner above all Galileans, because they suffered such things, because they died at Pilate coming upon them with his soldiers and killing them. Essentially, I think what's implied is that he massacred them as they were doing whatever they were doing. The Lord says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There'll be a terrible death for you that don't repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. And it'll be an eternal death. Or those 18 upon the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, they weren't. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Sometimes, why do people die? Things happen. From our standpoint, things happen. Is anything out of the control of the Lord? No. But from our standpoint in living life and the way we look on, sometimes there's just accidents. There's just accidents. Those things happen. And the Lord referred to these that the people knew about. And it was that way. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And this is talking about gain and riches and understanding, favor, and so skill. I think that we can certainly take it and apply it to the opposite extreme too. And again, this is the Lord Solomon giving things to us from the standpoint of people's perspective, from our perspective. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11, I returned, Solomon says, and saw under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Sometimes there's things that, from our standpoint, they just happen. They just happen. We've all known somebody that's acquired a grand inheritance, and they were simple with it and just squandered it and wasted it. And we look on and say, how can that happen? But it happens. Sometimes we look on at somebody and say, why did that happen to them? Sometimes things just happen. We do have this overreigning thing that is amongst men of the effect, the long-range effects of sin. It's working on us as a society, as a people, as mankind. Sin is working, is just out there, and it prevails amongst mankind. And it brings nothing but death. Galatians chapter 6. So, not a one of us can give an answer as to why things happen to us, to know definitively, but that's really the issue is between us and the Lord. That's how it's known. Somebody might have had an event or occurrence in their life like I described to you, and then they tell us, well, I know why that happened to me, because of this. And then we know. From their conviction about it, from their being there in the midst of it. But here is this other principle that applies to us, and it can be brought down through the generations even. In Galatians 6, verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because sin is at the door. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ by doing so. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'm not going to be faithful to the Lord by my grit and determination. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord by His blessing upon my life. Yet as a man, as His child, I should say, I purpose to do so with the Lord's help. You see, that dynamic is greater there than just yes or no or on or off. You understand? I struggle with how to explain about that, or I feel that I do. Verse 4, but let everyone prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That's that what's happening between us and God, our service and dedication to Him, our conviction from Him about following Him and living for Him, being a witness for Him. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Every man's to bear, we're to bear one another's burdens, churches of Galatia. But yet, a man, woman, boy or girl is going to bear his own burden too. Okay? So it's there. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let your Sunday school teacher, or those that the Lord used to be a blessing to you and teaching you something out of the word of God, let them know that. That'll be an encouragement to them. Not to blow them up or pump them up or anything like that, but to thank them and thank the Lord that He used them to teach something to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if we sow something in this flesh, if I make a habit of going through railroad crossings when the arms are down, you can know when I get hit by the train that I was sowing something that I ended up reaping. You hear? And it's that way with anything else that you and I do or think. Okay? For he that, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I think the expectation there is reaping a good thing. Amen? We've sowed good things. And give it time. Sowing good things will reap good things. Give it time. It'll take some time. But if I've sown to my flesh, and I've sown wild oats, give it time. They'll come up too. They will come up too. May the Lord help in that. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so we have these warnings that we read there in James and in 1 Corinthians. We have this understanding going into this study and in considering these cases that we can't know one for another what's going on unless it's in particular. But unless there's something obvious there, I mean, if I go around and sucking on cadmium-plated bolts, our resident chemist can tell you what cadmium will do to you, it won't be any surprise that I might not have a problem in about 10 or 20 years. If I have a habit of playing with mercury and doing tricks with mercury, it wouldn't be surprising in a few years if I have trouble, right? And just to lay the illustration there. But in other things, we can't know. Okay. Take a look over here in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 38, and he, that is Jesus, arose up out of the synagogue and entered into Simon Peter's house. And Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, the Lord Jesus Christ did, and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, why was Peter's mother-in-law sick? She just got sick, didn't she? Scripture doesn't tell us anything. But she was laying there sick, and what did the Lord do for her? He performed a miracle, didn't he? Did that not redound for his honor and his glory? It did, didn't it? Because she was with the fever when the Lord walked in the door, and then in moments, she was up helping to be able to feed him and take care of him and wash clothes maybe and minister to him in whatever need there was. Okay? Sometimes you just get sick. Sometimes we do just get sick. Acts chapter 9. I think it's good to pray to the Lord, thank the Lord for health and strength and life, and that the Lord will bless with health and strength and life. May the Lord help us not to just assume about it. Amen? Flu, type B flu going around. A lot of people been sick in the schools. A lot of young folks been sick in the schools. Stuff going around. It's good to pray to the Lord for health. The Lord might intervene and help. Here in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In verse number 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And we had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Sister Dorcas, she got sick, bad fever, died. Those of the church there knew that Peter was down the road, and they asked him to come down there. And they were lamenting, weeping over her, and, oh, what a good sister that she was, and all that she did. Why did she get sick? Why did she die? We don't know. We don't know. A woman with a great testimony, huh? Yeah. But then the apostle was there, and he had leadership of the Lord, no doubt. And he prayed, and the Lord gave her life back. Sometimes people just get sick. Sometimes people just die. But praise the Lord that he works things according to his will. The Lord wanted a testimony there, didn't he? Because many were saved at the news about this woman being restored to life. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man, verse number 1, Acts 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. This was going on amongst the first church. Look up here in chapter 4. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas. He was led of the Lord to sell his property and bring the money to the church there for it to be used among the saints. And in chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. they sold some property too. And they sold it for this, and they brought that. And they said that that was this. You hear what I'm saying? They sold it for 10 and brought 7 and said, this is all of it. This is what we got for the property, and kept back some to themselves. What goes on here? And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Was Ananias out saying this out into the air? We sold it for 7. We sold it for 7, or we sold it for 10, and we've sold the land. We've given it all. No, he brought it before the church, didn't he? He laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Oh, was Peter saying, you sold it all? You should have given it all. Is that what he's saying? No, he's not saying that. Listen to what he says. Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He sold it for a price. They sold it for a price and brought a portion of that and laid it there at the apostles' feet, saying it was all they got. And they lied. So simple would it have been for them to say, this is what we bring. Hear the difference? This is all we got. And they kept back a part. This is what I sold the land for, 7, when he really sold it for 10. Or Peter just said, here's 5. Here's my offering. Here's what I bring. But the difference was, is the notoriety. He wanted the notoriety that Barnabas had. And Barnabas wasn't concerned about any notoriety. He was led of the Lord to do what he did. And he did it. And Ananias and Sapphira, they were free to do what they wanted to do. They could have sold it for 10 and just given 1. And just gave it. But instead they gave a portion, saying it was all. Right there. Doesn't pride just tear us up and kill us? Doesn't it, it's so there and so tempting. The pride of life. Wanted that notoriety of being a great giver and giving it all, rather than just saying, here's what we bring. They bought in to a lie. Peter challenges him and says, why, Satan, fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You've lied, Ananias. Why hast thou conceived this thing, verse 4, in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but lied unto God. Lying to the apostles, lying to the church, essentially, is the same thing as lying to God. May the Lord help us. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And wouldn't you think it would be so? Sure. Man standing there. Doesn't say if he's an old man, young man, or somewhere in between, but he just drops. He drops. He heard these words, fell down, and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was around the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She didn't know her husband had died. Maybe been out shopping with the other ladies, some women there of the church. Came back, verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me, and this is more revealing of it and how we know what the case is, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much. You sell the land for 7? Tell me. You've given 7, saying that that's all you sold it for. How much to sell it for? 7? tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? They're just there dealing with people. The Apostle Peter is the only one that's mentioned that's saying anything. But it said that they've lied to God, not to men. And now, how have you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Sometimes because we lie. We lie to the Lord. What was going on there at Corinth? Some were sick, some were weak, some were sick, some had died. May the Lord help us to understand that and understand how that is. May the Lord help us that we would be convicted and not lie. Amen? But just always speak the truth. Yea, yea, and nay, nay. That deception and guile wouldn't be anything in our behavioral repertoire, right? That we wouldn't resort to lying when it's beneficial to ourselves. But that we just be honest and forthright. Because as the children of God, we stand in this kind of jeopardy if we do. Oh, Brother Jim, that's crazy. Listen, that's after the Lord was resurrected. That's after the Lord went back to heaven. This is in the day of the Lord's church, same age that you and I are in now. May God help us. May God help us in it. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we pray for you. Pray that the Lord will give you sight, give you hearing, that you might hear and see your great need and your condition before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God. How you compare to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are guilty, a guilty sinner, and that you need Him as Savior, that to believe, to know that you're guilty before God and confess it before Him, not itemize your sins, you can't do it. In many respects, you don't even know how you've sinned against God. But to realize that you're guilty. Guilty before the Lord. Guilty before God Almighty, your Creator. And then see Jesus, the Son of God, having come down and become a man, live a perfect life and give His life on the cross of Calvary, to yield Himself over to the hands of wicked men. And they did what they were predictable to do, like you and I would have done. They put Him to death, didn't they? Yet He gave His own life. He gave His life. He yielded His life, a ransom for His people. And He was buried and rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Did He do that for you because of your sin and because of your need? Did He do that for you for your condemnation, that He might take your sin and your condemnation, your shame? We don't hear much about shame for sin anymore, do we? Did He do that, take that upon Himself, that He might give His righteousness and put His righteousness upon you, that you might be justified? We pray for you that you see that. Not only that you see it, that you believe it. Amen.